Chapter 1, It's a Phenomenal Life. In the classic film, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart's bank had all but collapsed and he was on the verge of jumping off of a bridge to end his life. Little did he know that he had a guardian angel assigned to him and many wonderful people that loved him and cared about him regardless of the circumstances. He didn't realize the difference he had made in others' lives. We live in a fallen world. We never know what trial we may face tomorrow. Learning to make the best of the circumstances we face is one of the first keys to living a phenomenally successful life. One of my best friends was Ray Davis. Ray suffered from MS for many years, and in the last 10 years of his life, he couldn't even get out of bed. His arms and legs were stiffened in place by the disease. Even his fingers were permanently gnarled and inflexible. As he lay there in constant agonizing pain, he could move only his lips. If you didn't know Ray well, like I did, you couldn't understand his garbled, slurred speech. I was glad that I could understand him because Ray's purpose was to encourage everyone who came to his bedside. Regardless of his condition, he wanted to know about your life and how you were doing. He always glorified God and was so thankful for the little things. He was always hopeful for the future. Maybe there would be a miracle breakthrough drug. Maybe God would heal him. Maybe he would be able to move his fingers just a little bit today. My problems seemed small after leaving Ray's bedside. I was grateful just to be able to walk to my car. The last time I saw Ray alive was in the hospital. I was the only one there, and the room was dark. A nurse had come into the room, and Ray wanted to pray for her. On his deathbed, in the last hours of his life, his concern was for someone he didn't even know. Ray used what he had. He may not have been able to help anyone physically, but he was able to make a difference with what he did have, his heart and his mind. I have a picture of an African slave I took out of a magazine. Judging by the date of the photograph and the age of the man, who appeared to be over 70, he was most likely plucked from his freedom by white foreigners and put on a slave ship. Though I cannot pretend to know what this man experienced, I do know that there are two places that no one can touch except him and God, and those two places are his heart and his mind. I have that picture to remind me that I have no problems. History is littered with people who endured nightmarish atrocities, but emerged with a sense of freedom, purpose, and joy. The first step to living a phenomenally successful life is to not live out of your circumstances. Begin to focus on what you do have rather than what you don't have. This was hard for me because I've been blessed with many comforts in life. Don't get me wrong, my wife and I work hard for what we have, but I can get too focused on how things should be rather than just being grateful for what I have. You may not feel that you have much to be grateful for. Maybe you have tremendous problems. Maybe your future doesn't look bright. I want to introduce you to a mental process that I think will serve you well. It has not come easily for me, but I now realize that when I use it, I'm able to focus on what is truly important. Some years ago, I was introduced to a man by the name of Jerry Wiles. Jerry has authored a number of books and has a syndicated radio show. He serves as the president emeritus of Living Water International. Living Water International drills wells across the world in places where clean drinking water isn't available. I learned from them that almost 1 billion people on the planet don't have access to clean drinking water. I discovered that this is the number one killer on Earth. How's that possible? That's 20% of the planet. I quickly learned to be more grateful for what I have. It just so happens that as I write this piece, we have no water in my house because of a deep freeze last night. Although I live in a beautiful home, we're on a water well, which froze during the night. During Hurricane Ike, we were without power for 3 weeks. The water well is electric, so we had no running water. After several days, with the help of a friend, we got a generator hooked up. But before that, it was sponge baths by candlelight, and that was just a little less comfortable than what I'm used to. To top it off, it happened to be my birthday. That experience taught me to be grateful for the little things. If you live in America, you have so much to be grateful for. Being able to just flip a switch for light, water, and warmth. Having garbage service. The freedom to worship. The freedom to pursue your dreams. The freedom to grow a phenomenal business that will take you places you've never dreamed possible and to bless more people than you could ever imagine. Zig Ziglar says, of all the attitudes we can acquire, surely the attitude of gratitude is the most important and by far the most life-changing. Be grateful for the little things, and your mind and your heart will be open to new possibilities for your life. Otherwise, you'll be stuck in your own prison of pity. Every day when we wake up, we have a choice of what to focus on. When you wake up and your problems begin to fill your mind, or you begin to become overwhelmed with the duties required for today, stop and replace those thoughts with gratefulness. Begin to think about what you do have. Thank God for your freedom. Thank God for everything that you have in all areas of your life. Be grateful for the little things, and you'll see your attitude begin to change. For years, Zig Ziglar taught us to respond to circumstances rather than react to them. In other words, make the best out of what you're dealt in life. Many people scoffed at Zig because he had it all, so to speak. A world-famous speaker and author, millions of fans, of course he's going to be positive. But one night, he fell down the stairs in his home and nearly killed himself. The fall resulted in a terrible case of vertigo and short-term memory loss. Seemingly everything that made Zig who he was, his animated speeches, his positive attitude, his sharp wit, all put to the test. Would he complain? Would he use it as an excuse to quit? Would he start a Zig Ziglar pity party? No way. Instead, he proved his message by doing the best he could with the situation. He continued to travel and continued to inspire. And he wrote a book about it with his daughter, Julie Norman Ziglar. Embrace the Struggle guides the reader through the process of not only overcoming the struggle, but embracing it. Many times the worst things that happen to us eventually become the best things as they bring unexpected blessings. In some ways, I think his short-term memory loss helped the audience. At one of my events, he and Julie were on my stage. After repeating how important marriage was for the sixth time, one of my attendees finally got it. He rushed out of the room, called his girlfriend, and asked her to marry him. Sometimes men need to hear something six times before it sinks in. 6 months later, the couple married. At my live seminar, by the way, which was pretty unique, several of us went on a fabulous Costa Rican adventure afterwards. While there, he showed me a personal letter he had received from Zig encouraging their marriage. Remember Helen Keller. Helen Keller was deaf, dumb, and blind, yet she became an author, speaker, an American legend. How did she do it? She had a vision. She also had a teacher. I'll get to that in just a moment. The first and most important key to having a phenomenal life is a strong, compelling vision. Helen Keller said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." This does not mean that you'll have everything figured out. It just means that you'll have a sense of freedom in your life because you've thought about what kind of life you want to live. What does that look like? I personally believe that deep down, everyone has a dream. They may not be able to articulate it, and you may not even be able to see that you have a dream, but you do. There is an image of the kind of person you want to be. There is an image of the kind of life you want to live. The trouble is that we've forgotten how to dream. Last year, I had the pleasure of interviewing Rudy Rudiger, the real guy that the movie Rudy was about. Rudy had a dream to play football for Notre Dame. He was too small, too slow, and not strong enough. He wasn't even smart enough to get into Notre Dame, but he never gave up on his dream. And he did go to Notre Dame, and he did get on the team. And you probably know the story. He did get to play the final game of the season, and he sacked the quarterback. During the interview, Rudy said that typically children are encouraged to dream until fifth grade. When all of a sudden they're told that they need an education to be successful, and their dreams are squashed. We have forgotten how to dream. You may not find your dream as a result of this book, but I hope to help you develop a simple vision for your life. A clear picture of who you are and what you want out of life is critical to having a phenomenally successful life. If you're a business owner, having a vision for your life is critical for building the right kind of business. We usually get that backwards. We usually build the business without considering the impact on our lives. Remember that the only reason your business exists is to help you achieve your life goals. There is no other reason. What I mean by life goals is what you want your life to look like, the vision for your life. If you aren't clear about what you want out of life, you won't build the kind of business that will serve you well. Your business has a huge impact on your personal life. If you don't have a compelling vision for your life, you won't do the things you need to do, and you won't become the person you want to become. In other words, if I don't even know what I want to have, how can I know what to do? And if I don't know what I'm supposed to do each day, how in the world can I know what kind of person I need to be? So it all starts with the dream, the vision for your life. I created an acronym for life that goes like this: living in freedom every day. The kind of freedom I'm talking about here is the freedom of the mind, a freedom in your heart, to find yourself, so to speak. To really know that you are living the life that you are called to live. There's a sense of freedom when you know you are becoming the person you are supposed to be. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to feel that sense of freedom. I don't think you ever arrive and you want to always be growing, but knowing that you're on the right track is very freeing. Maybe the life you're living isn't the life you want. Maybe you haven't a clue about how to begin living a different life. Maybe you've never even thought about it. My hope is that this book will help you discover the groove you are called to, and it'll help you get on the right track. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be successful? Does living in freedom every day mean that you won't have problems? No. Does it mean every day will be phenomenal? Well, Zig says if you don't think every day is a good day, try missing one. Speaking of Zig Ziglar, his definition of success is having a balanced life. To demonstrate this, he uses a tool called the Wheel of Life. You may be familiar with it. I've found it to be very helpful. There are 7 spokes on the wheel. 1 is personal, your own dreams, aspirations, hobbies, and goals. Your social activity, as much as it depends on you, basically your lifestyle. 2, financial. Your income, your financial position, and what you do with your money. 3, career. That's your work, your role in your job or business, and what that means to you and those around you, as well as the contribution to the world that it represents. 4 is mental. Your knowledge, your mental growth, the things that occupy your mind. This includes the things that you want to learn. 5 is physical, your physical condition, as much as it depends on you, your eating habits, exercise, addictions, etc. 6 is family, your relationship with family members, as much as it depends on you, and what kind of person you want to be in relationship to family members. Remember, you can't change anyone. But if you change yourself, you have a much better chance of someone else changing as a result of your example. And finally, 7 is spiritual. Your relationship with God, as much as it depends on you. What kind of faith member is ideal? What is your role in that? So take a few moments to think about each spoke on the wheel. How do you feel about where you are in each area right now? Rate that area in your life on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being poor and 10 being phenomenal. When you're looking at the wheel, you would circle that number that best describes how you feel in that area of your life based on your ideal vision. Be honest with yourself. Once you've circled a number on each spoke, connect the dots with a line. You'll immediately see whether your life is balanced or not. Do you have a flat tire? When your wheel isn't balanced, the road of life is pretty bumpy. It may even be painful to think about some of these areas. This is normal, and it's okay. I'll try to help you face some of the challenges that you see. I hope to help you move those areas up little by little until you not only know you are a phenomenal product, but you feel it too. Would you agree that if I make a lot of money but my family life is messed up, I'm not living a phenomenally successful life? What if I'm a hugely spiritual person but I'm deeply in debt? Doesn't really work, does it? Each of the areas affect the other. You may feel that you can't be a borderline 11 in every area, but I'm here to tell you that you can. And if you don't believe that, let me ask you, which area in your life shouldn't be phenomenal? Does it mean that you should be filthy rich? After all, if I'm saying you should be phenomenal in every area of life, doesn't that include financial too? Yes, it does. But when you get to the chapter on how to make phenomenal money, you might be surprised at what I have to say. Now that you've completed the wheel on how you feel about your life, now let's do a very exciting exercise. Using the same wheel, let's set some goals. Let's create a vision for your life. I like to start with a 90-day time period. Think about the areas that need to be balanced. Imagine your life 90 days from now. What are some of the realistic goals you could set in each of those areas? While you're doing this, ignore any negative thoughts that might come into your mind. Instead, assume that you can overcome any challenge that might get in your way. If there were no obstacles, what numbers could you realistically set on the wheel? For example, when I first did the wheel, I put down a 2 on family because my relationship with my son wasn't the greatest at the time. It was far from phenomenal, let me tell you. But I set a goal to move it up. Today, I would rate it at a 9. And remember that I'm only rating it based on my part in the relationship. Even if the other person never responds, you can eventually give yourself a 10 if you have truly done everything possible on your end. Only you know if you have or not. Only you and God can be the judge of that. Developing a vision for your life and focusing on that vision daily is the first and most important key. Remember that Helen Keller said the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. When you have a compelling vision for your life, one that is incredibly inspiring, you'll have the energy to fight through difficult circumstances. Someone once said that strong vision endures heavy crosswinds. Another wonderful exercise is to describe your perfect day. You're the spiritual person you're called to be. You're responding and leading in your family in a way that's fulfilling. You're in the best physical shape that you can be. Your mind is sharp. Money isn't an issue. And you're doing what you love. You're spending time with friends and you're pursuing your passion in life. What would that look like for you? Many people find that a vision board is helpful. Get a bulletin board or a poster board, a wall, a mirror, or any place that you'll see every day and find pictures that inspire you. A friend of mine was recently with some fighter pilots and noticed that each of them had a picture of their family on the instrument panel. When he asked why, they all responded that the pictures reminded them what they were fighting for. What are you fighting for? Your vision must be compelling. It must be inspiring. It must energize you. And you must be willing to put your dream to the test. Recently, I met the world-renowned John C. Maxwell and joined his training team as a founding member. At the time, he was promoting his book, Put Your Dream to the Test. That book has 10 important questions to ask yourself about your dream. The fact that you don't have a compelling vision for your life is a reflection of what you're actually getting out of life. I believe that developing a vision for your life, living in freedom every day, is the most important thing you can possibly do. The reason is that your actions follow your vision. Your actions determine your destination. If you don't really know what you want out of life, use the wheel of life and ask yourself these 3 questions in each area of the wheel. Number 1, what do I want my life to look like in this area? Remember, as much as it depends on you. Number 2, why do I want this? This is what will drive you, so it must be a big why. Number 3, how can I get there? What are some of the possible strategies you can use to make this a reality in your life? You'll most likely need some outside input. Get input from your mentors, coaches, and family members. So the first step to living a phenomenally successful life is to think about what you want your life to look like in these 7 areas. Develop a vision for your life. Instead of living out of the circumstances, you live out of the beautiful, freeing, inspiring vision instead. This keeps you focused on moving forward rather than getting down about what you don't have right now. Remember that there are many others who are worse off than you. And remember, this doesn't mean you won't have problems. It just means that you'll have a compelling vision that will help you overcome the challenges with more grace and success. FTI. The next step is to act on your dream. So often we get lots of ideas, but we fail to implement. We come up with business plans we never implement. We think we have good intentions, but we never seem to get there. I often say that the number one reason small business owners don't grow or do as well as they could is because of FTI, failure to implement. You know what to do and how to do it, but you still don't do it. The reason? You don't have a strong enough vision. You don't truly believe that it will happen. If you did, you would implement. And I love this Japanese proverb that goes like this: vision without action is just a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. So vision without action is only a daydream. But where most people live is action without vision. You simply react to the circumstances of the day. Your day is consumed putting out brush fires, but you never seem to get traction. This is because your actions aren't tied to a strong vision. When you know where you're going and you believe it will be phenomenal, you will begin to do the hard stuff you need to do. You need people around you to help you develop your dream and to keep you accountable to live out the life you're supposed to live. Your dream team consists of people who you want to model your life after, as well as people who can support you. When I say model, I don't mean copy. One of the excellent coaching processes I've used is the Growth Coach strategic planning process. My good friend Glenn Smith owns the franchise in Houston. In their planner, there's a statement that says, "I will model the mindset, strategies, and habits of the following person." And there's a space for that name. Modeling means you respect their values. One of the names that has occupied that space on my planner is Bill Beckham. He was one of my earliest mentors. He's one of the wisest men that I know. He's also the man who introduced me to the E-Myth book and the one who declared to the audience, "You are a phenomenal product." He's an incredible visionary, and he has an amazing prophetic insight that cuts right to the root issue when he's mentoring others. Another name that has appeared on that line is Zig Ziglar. If I can maintain just a fraction of the positive attitude that man has, I'll be pretty doggone phenomenal. I live by the principle of finding the people who have already done what I want to do and learning from them. Contact those you identify with and find out if they will mentor you. Most successful people are happy to help you because that's how they got to where they are. If the person is a paid coach or consultant, pay their fee or find a way to offer appropriate value. Join their programs and buy their products. Support them and help them. Mentors will help you discover your unique and phenomenal abilities. And that will change your life forever. So it's worth whatever you invest. I believe that most people need others to see them from the outside. I know I do. I'm so grateful for all those who have encouraged me because they saw my talent, my calling. They saw my potential when I couldn't see it. Rudy Rudiger says, having a mentor clears up the confusion. When I interviewed Rudy at the Ziglar Studio, he said that we all suffer from what he calls goofy thinking and that we have a lot of confusion. He made a big point of getting mentors to help us clear things up. All of us need mentors, coaches, consultants, our spouse, and others in our lives that can see things from the outside. Spend time with people who have your best interests at heart, people who will encourage you, inspire you, and love you enough to challenge you. You need a dream team. My dream team includes coaches, consultants, mentors, friends, associates, staff members, and my wife, of course. My nephew helped me name phenomenal products when he was about 15. I'm not sure how he came up with it, but we were brainstorming one day and the word phenomenal popped out. A teenager that really didn't have a lot going for him at the time. The original idea for Phenomenal Products came late one night on a long, dark stretch of Texas Highway. One of my employees and I were driving to the beach at South Padre Island, and I was doing some association work at the time, and we began to talk about how cool it would be to have some products that would help small business owners. Before too long, I had a couple of manuals, some CDs, some live workshops. Now, you're reading my first book. It's been an incredible ride, but the seed was planted, gnawing on beef jerky and sipping a Coke driving down the road. My dream team encourages me to think bigger. They also caution me if they sense that our brand or reputation may be affected. Dr. John Maxwell said, if you don't value people, you devalue people. All of business and all of life is about relationships. Your relationships with clients, employees, coworkers, vendors, and family members. Your relationship with God and your relationship with yourself. How you value others will determine how you will act toward them. Zig Ziglar's most famous quote and his personal favorite to this day is, you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. During the first time I interviewed Zig on video, I told him that he stole that quote from Jesus because Jesus said, give and it'll be given back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Old Zig just laughed and said, well, I know him personally, so I think that'll be all right. What wit he had. So what is your calling? I believe that God created each one of us for a specific purpose. Each one of us has a post in life, and each one of us has a certain gifting and calling. Your mentors, coaches, and consultants will help you discover that. Your dream team will help you get there. Once you've set some goals in each area of your life and thought about how you'll get there, you'll develop an action list, a set of first steps that you must do in order to live out the life you want. For example, when I made the decision to write this book, I established a goal of investing 1 hour a day, 6 days a week, until I finished it. I've used the same approach to complete other projects in the past. For example, when I started Phenomenal Products, my first order of business was to write some manuals. I got up every day around 4 a.m. and invested 2 to 3 hours a day to complete the manuals. Take action now on your goals and dreams.